So, after a brief delay, I don't know when we did part two, I think it was before Borneo. We're going to try and... Do I have this or do you have this? Yes, I want it. I thought I saw it up there before. We're going to continue with the series on our spiritual weapons, our weapons of war for part three. You know what? Turning it on helps. I'm learning about all these fancy new electronic gizmos. If you remember that we started the with the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6, that our weapons are not physical weapons. We used a powerful weapon tonight in worship. I don't know about you, but about halfway through worship, it was almost like a weight was cut off my back. Worship is a powerful weapon. When we worship the Lord, it releases angels to do things that we can't do ourselves. 2 Corinthians 10:6 goes on to say that these weapons are for the destruction of strongholds, that will refute arguments, theories, and reasonings, and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. See, that's what this great end time battle is all about. It's not about Islam, it's not about Hinduism, it's not about anything other than the mindset of the world against the fatherhood of God. Zechariah puts it that it would be your sons, O Greece, against your sons, O Israel. The humanistic mindset, the Greek mindset, against the father heart of God. We lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, being in readiness to punish every insubordinate for his disobedience when your own submission and obedience as a church are fully secured and complete. In other words, once I deal with it here, we can begin to deal with it out in the world. Do you want a biblical example of that? Remember the seven sons of Sceva? They didn't deal with it here, but they tried to deal with the demons out in the world, and they got beat up. Because the demon even said, Jesus I know, and I've heard of Paul, but who are you? Until I have my relationship with Jesus Christ right here, that means I submit to him every day. It's not rocket science, it's pretty simple. Then I can walk in the authority that he walked in on the earth. In the first two sessions, we looked at the stars and the Spirit of the Lord, the indignation of God, the north wind that drives away rain, the mystery of the evening tide, the razor of the Lord, and the rebuke of the Lord. So tonight I want to continue to stretch our thinking a little bit and look at three more weapons that the Lord has put in our arsenal to fight the good fight of faith. The first I want to look at is the fire of God. The fire of a God is an uncommon weapon, and one of the most terrible weapons given to us by God so that we can enjoy resounding victory. How many of you would like resounding victory? When we use this weapon, it is as if God himself throws his entire strength into the battle. The Bible makes it clear that God is a consuming fire. We see this in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. This is what Father says about himself. In Deuteronomy 9, verse 3, he says, know therefore today that it is the Lord your God who is crossing over before us as a consuming fire. He's already gone before you in this path he's asking you to walk. As a consuming fire, which means when we go with him, there's nothing that can stand against us. He will destroy them, he will subdue them before you, so that you may drive them out and destroy them quickly, just as the Lord has spoken to you. In Hebrews 12, 28 and 29, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Old and New Testament, the saints see God as a consuming fire. When God goes into battle, he comes with fire as his weapon of war. In the spiritual realm, fire is far more potent than any gun on the field of battle. When God throws a fireball into the camp of your enemy, the forces of darkness abandon their inferior weapons and flee. In other words, fear is an inferior weapon. The fire of God is an irresistible weapon of war. It consumes both the horse and the rider. It will burn to ashes the ranks of forces of darkness. God created the weapon of his fire to consume and eradicate the power of his enemies. The weapon of fire spreads terror and tragedy like wildfire through the camp of the enemy. According to Deuteronomy 9:3, as a consuming fire, God will destroy his enemies. The function of a consuming fire of God is total destruction. Many times in the remnants of the forces of darkness in the battle that wreak havoc against the saints, it's the ones that we let get back in the back door. It's those thoughts that we haven't brought captive. It's those little ites that we thought went down. But when you use the weapon of the consuming fire of God, you completely wipe out the wicked powers in such a way that even the memory of them is gone. Isn't that what the Lord said? I will blot out their memory from the earth. When God gets involved with your warfare, or when Father decides to carry out your deliverance, he will often use a weapon of fire. Many times when we're ministering deliverance, we will ask the angels to bring the fire of the Lord to burn out that stubborn demon that's not letting the person go. And guess what? They get free. We're not talking to the person. We're speaking to the forces of darkness. We're releasing the weapons of the Lord against those things that are hindering his children. In Psalm 18, verses 12 through 13, it says, the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered them, and lightning flashes in abundance and routed them. See, fire always announces the presence of God. When the fire of the Lord comes forward, everyone knows. Remember the confrontation between Elijah and the principalities of Baal and Asherah, all of the priests on top of Mount Carmel? What was it that caused all the people to say, the Lord, he is God? The fire of the Lord fell. In Psalm 18, verse 8, it says, smoke went out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. In Psalm 50, verse 3, may our God come and not keep silence. Fire devours before him, and it is very tempestuous around him. The psalmist even calls for burning coals of fire to fall upon his enemies. In Psalm 140, verse 10, may burning coals fall upon them, and may they be cast into the fire, into the deep pits from which they cannot rise. These guys understood how to put an end to their warfare. They weren't messing around. They didn't play around. Oh, this is a cute one. Let's just see what it'll do. They knew the deception of the enemy. See, God cares about his children. And anyone who touches you touches the apple of God's eye. Any power that confronts you is preparing their own obituary. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you are so loved by God that anything that confronts you, Father has already put to darkness? Those powers of darkness that try to stop you from achieving your destiny have already crossed the line, but we have to activate the weapons of our warfare. Psalm 11:16. Upon the wicked he will rain snares. Fire and brimstone and burning wind will be the portion of their cup. See, God can rain fire upon the territory of the enemy. He can direct a fire into their camp just because you cried out to him. In Genesis 19:24, it says, Then the Lord God rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. He is always ready to pour liquid fire on the head of any power that's confronting his children. We should see instant victory. In Ezekiel 38:22, with pestilence and with blood I will enter into judgment with him, and I will rain on him and on his troops and on the many peoples who are with him a torrential rain with hailstones, fire, and brimstone. So when your battle gets heated up, deal with the enemy by calling for rains of fire to fall upon your stubborn pursuers, according to Psalm 11, verse 6. We don't have to fight the battles. They've already been won. We have to hear what Father's saying and then release his weapons against his enemies. There are certain ways to pray that are so acidic that as soon as you make use of the fire of God in your warfare, his fire begins to burn those who have held you in captivity. The weapon of fire must be used in the tough battles that you face against powers that have captured you and vowed to never let go. That's what we're battling in this region. The fire of God is a weapon that is needed when you want to be free from the activities of marine witchcraft. Why is that important? Because we are on a marine border for the United States. It's called Lake Ontario. We have to confront those types of principalities to maintain our land. You will also need to use this weapon to put an end to foundational bondage. There are many people who are bound in their foundational beliefs because of what is in their bloodlines, what is in their lineage, and what is in their religious upbringing. The fire of the Lord will burn out those foundational false principles that are really like back doors for the enemy to attack the sons and daughters of God. The weapon of the fire of God will grant you immunity, and it will make eaters of flesh and drinkers of blood become so confused that they will begin to eat and drink their own flesh and drink their own blood. Now that sounds pretty gross. I've been hitting this thing. There. That's where I'm at. No, the bottom paragraph. The weapon of the fire of God will grant you immunity. I'll just read this. There's more in my notes than there is on the screen. If you want to have an unchallengeable victory, this is a weapon that you should have in your arsenal. It's not a fire that's ignited by us. There are people drawing satanic powers in our region because of the sacrifice and the consuming of blood and flesh. It's called false communion. It's called communion with darkness. It's called covenants with Satan. This is a weapon you use when you're battling against occult powers. Not people, the powers that are behind them. When do we use this weapon? We use this weapon as an all-purpose weapon. When you can't get victory, just ask the Lord to release His fire against the enemies that are pursuing you. Because the fire of God is a suitable weapon for every battle in life. You use it to combat stubborn pursuers. When you've got forces that are pursuing you, infirmity can be a stubborn pursuer. When you've got generational infirmity issues, ask the Lord to release the fire of God against them to burn out those adversaries. Again, this is a powerful weapon that can be used to subdue marine witchcraft. People who call upon the powers over the waters, people who call upon Leviathan, people who call upon the water snakes. Number five, this is a weapon that can be applied against ancestral and foundational bondages. Especially in Eastern cultures, there are many ancestral bondages. They literally have days where they worship their ancestors. Many of the homes that we've been in, there will be walls that are built like shrines to all of their ancestors. The fire of God can burn out that spirit that's behind that and set believers free. Not saying that they have to do anything against their relatives, but there's a spirit that's behind that that's idolatrous. And number six, ask the fire of God to consume every habitation of cruelty that is warring against your life. There is nothing sweet and innocent about our enemy. He is a cruel taskmaster. So in your handout, there's several ways to pray. Number one, Father, in the name of Jesus, you are a consuming fire. Arise in your fire and trouble every troubler of my life. Number four, in the name of Jesus, fire of God, arise and burn to ashes every plantation of darkness. Number eight, in the name of Jesus, O God, arise in your fire of judgment and torment my tormentors. Many times when we're ministering deliverance to someone, we will ask the Lord to send His fire to torment those spirits that have been harassing His son or daughter. And guess what? That spirit lets go and gets cast out. Number 11, in the name of Jesus, fire of God, arise in the thunder of your power and disgrace every power trying to disgrace me. These are examples of how you can pray. Let Holy Spirit lead you in how to use it. The ninth weapon that we want to look at tonight is the hook of God. It's interesting that the Hebrew word for hook is spelled vav, vav. This is the year of Ayin Vav, so maybe this is a weapon we should be using. It's not how the vav looks, but this is a weapon that we have been using for 30 years when we minister deliverance. The hook of God is a terrible weapon of deliverance and spiritual warfare. It's a weapon needed by the victims of marine bondage. When marine spirits are holding you captive, you need to command the hook of the Lord to draw them out and stop troubling the waters of your destiny. Are you in the river of the Lord? Well, then you have water on the path to your destiny if you're following the river. But the enemy wants to get in and mess up the flow. Divine hooks are powerful weapons created to locate the mouth of the fish that are using their strange powers to pollute the waters to your destiny. So here's how God does it. In Ezekiel chapter 29, verse 4, he says, I will put hooks in your jaws and make the fish of your rivers cling to your scales. And I will bring you out of the midst of your rivers, and all the fish of your rivers will cling to your scales. We often use this when we're ministering deliverance and we've come upon a strong man. Instead of trying to name every little demon that's attached to it, we'll just use this scripture and ask the angels to sink the hook of the Lord into whatever that spirit is and draw it out with all of the little supporting forces. And many times people will say, I feel so much lighter. Well, you don't have all those little fish hanging on to you. God is an awesome warrior. He can use one weapon of warfare and deliverance to destabilize a whole army. God will put hooks in dangerous places in the body of the enemy, and the whole satanic force will be routed and paralyzed and captured. One hook, and he can change the whole course of a battle by pulling that enemy away. In Ezekiel 38, verses 3 and 4, we read, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, principal of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you about and put hooks into your jaw, and I will bring you out, and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them splendidly attired, a great company with buckler and shield, all of them wielding swords. One hook, he'll turn a whole army. God has decreed that a great company of enemy soldiers with all their weapons of war will be arrested through the use of hooks. The mystery of this weapon is that when you invoke the hooks of the Lord, you will put an end to the silly attacks coming from the camps of the enemy. The moment you use this weapon, unchallengeable victory and incontestable deliverance will be yours. Just by using the hook of the Lord. Every minister of deliverance and spiritual warfare must learn to use the hook of the Lord as a weapon. We've been using this one ever since, I think it was Ron and Dan Niebuhr and I started ministering deliverance together just a couple days ago. This weapon is not for weak warriors. In other words, if I go out on the battlefield thinking that maybe Jesus might maybe help me, I'm a weak warrior. I need to go out on the battlefield knowing that all the power and authority of heaven Jesus has given to me and to you. Luke 10:19. The time is now to teach your hands to do serious battle. So when do we use this weapon? We use this weapon when we're dealing with anti-destiny powers, powers that are trying to keep you from filling the destiny that's written about you in your books in the courtroom of heaven. You use this weapon, number two, when you want to arrest your arresters, those that are arresting you, those that are stopping you, those that are hindering you from moving forward in the call of the Lord on your life. Again, these are not people. These are unseen demonic powers, fallen angels. Number three, you use the hook of the Lord to enable you to sack the powers of your father's house and bloodline, Allen and Mason. That's what we just prayed for them. Use the hook of the Lord to draw out those powers that are trying to keep them from fulfilling the destiny that was written for their bloodline. If my great-great-granddaddy, and I didn't know any of my bloodline grandfathers, if my great-great-granddaddy did something that allows a curse to go four generations, it can surprise me if I don't use the weapons of warfare to stop it. Wisdom is using the word of the Lord to walk in victory every day. Number four, we use this weapon to handcuff satanic soldiers and imprison them. That's what we do when we're ministering deliverance. Number five, you use this weapon when you are dealing with camouflaging and hidden enemies. You know, many times the enemy will try to look like something that he's not. So this is one way to remove that deception. And number six, you use the hook of the Lord when you want to deal with wicked satanic agents. Your handout has some ways listed in which we can pray. In the name of Jesus, Father, let your hook go into the waters and disgrace every marine banker that has stolen from me. You know, there are demonic entities that have been assigned to steal your inheritance. But Father already has a weapon for us to fight against them. Number four, in the name of Jesus, let the hook of the Lord disgrace Pharaoh and the waters that have been boasting against my breakthrough. Do you know that the enemy sits there and laughs because we're not getting the breakthroughs that Father promised? Use the hook of the Lord to draw them out so that you get to the place of your breakthrough. Number seven, the name of Jesus, let the angels of the living God begin to use the hook of the Lord to fish out every hidden serpent and scorpion troubling my life. There's nothing like having angels go fishing for you to pull out those demonic forces that have been hidden in your path or in your bloodline so that they can no longer hinder you from hearing and walking in the revelation of the Lord. The tenth weapon and the last one that we want to look at tonight is my favorite one. It's the lightning of God. The lightning of God is a formidable weapon created by Him to destroy the enemies of your destiny and enhance your deliverance. In the natural realm, lightning can be frightening. It can light up the sky as far as you can see. When God sends forth His lightning, His enemies are scattered. Your enemies gather together to hold you in bondage. But God will use His weapon of explosive divine lightning to scatter them. The enemies of your destiny and your breakthrough cannot escape the fierce lightning of God. Psalm 144, verse 6 says, "Cast forth lightning and scatter my enemies. Send out your arrows and embarrass and frustrate them." When demons gather together to keep you in the valley of bondage, God will shoot terrific lightning to send disaster into the enemy's camp. One arrow of lightning will disperse the enemies of your breakthrough and deliverance. A little over 10 years ago, I was up on the top of Cobbs Hill at the reservoir on a Saturday afternoon praying with Joe Askins. And we were just going to pray over the city because you can pretty much see the city and much of the county from up there. And as we were praying and turning, and we were in a time of not a drought, not like the one we're in now, but we turned and we were facing this direction, so it would be toward the northwest, which is the area that I live in. It looked like the city of Rochester was a teacup, and there were some dark clouds just blowing over the city. And I was prompted by the Holy Spirit to start to pray, "Lord, send your lightning against every demonic force that is hindering your church from moving forward in Rochester." And then Joe prayed, "And Lord, send rain." Well, I had promised Casey that night that on my way home from prayer, unfortunately, when we get together to pray, it tends to go longer than you plan, I would stop and buy some propane so I could cook out. By the time we got done praying, the propane store was closed, so I came home and I said, well, I guess I'm not cooking out tonight, and went about doing yard work and whatnot, and it's about 7 o'clock, and I said, do you still want to cook out? I'll go buy a new tank of propane. So now I've got two tanks, so I almost never run out. And we're on our way back home between Gillette Road and our house, and Casey said, well, we're not cooking out tonight. I said, why? And she's looking to the north, and she said, there's lightning. And I said, a little bolt of lightning came down in the south, and I said, oh, that's not bad. I'll just cook in the barn. Straight down Route 31 in front of us, the whole sky lit up with a big kaboom, this huge bolt of lightning. I said, we're not cooking out tonight. We get into our house, and for those of you who haven't been in there, we have a window on the west in the kitchen and a window on the east in the kitchen, and we said, well, we better go unplug the computers. Kaboom! We thought a bomb went off. The house shook. The lightning ran across the lightning rods on the house, jumped over to the big tree on the side of our garden. It was the year of Sonic hay, and it carved a hay. I have a photo of it. It carved a hay into our tree. It removed 3 cubic feet of bark off of the tree. Now the tree is slowly dying from that. Everywhere we went that year and ministered, places where they say we never get lightning. I said, don't say that. It would lightning. We went to one place. They had a guest worship team the first night that we ministered at this conference. And every slide that they put up had backgrounds of lightning on them. And the Lord would send down lightning. Every place we went, he would use lightning. That same year, if you remember, that lightning hit a historic church in Rochester, it didn't hit the outside of the church. It hit the altar inside the church and burned it. That church was ordaining homosexuals. See, the Lord will send his lightning on the just and the unjust. He will send his rain on the just and the unjust. But he wants to use these weapons to rout his enemies. Every place we went when we dealt with demonic confrontation that year, the Lord would release lightning. It was like a sign for Casey and I. You can minister now. As a matter of fact, during the youth worship service, they had a powerful time of worship. This is in Alabama. And their church went up like this and like that, only in, around the top of their church they had windows on that upward vertical rise. And Casey said, I got to tell them what I saw. As the youth were worshiping, she saw angels aligned around. So lightning is hit, and now she's seeing these angels around there, and all they're doing is holding the demons. And as the youth were singing, their sound was hitting the demons, and they were exploding. See, when we will use the weapons of the Lord, he will use his angelic forces to fight the battle in ways we couldn't do it. The things that were trying to flee those kids were getting blown up in angel hands. I love the lightning of God. The Bible clearly states that lightning bolts are arrows of the Lord. We see this in Psalm 18, verse 14. He sent out his arrows and scattered them, and lightning flashes in abundance and routed them. See, when God releases lightning, tough signals are sent into the enemy's camp. I mean, when he releases lightning, we pay attention. Lightning is the arrowhead of thunder. God's arrows will land in witchcraft covens to disrupt the enemy's plans to tie you down and subject you to gruesome bondage. When the Almighty releases lightning from his arsenal, the battle becomes terrible. We don't have to be in the midst of where that lightning is striking. We just have to be in position to call on the Lord to release His lightning against His enemies. Just as you and I cannot ignore lightning in the natural, so too no demonic gathering of predators or predators of bondage can withstand the lightning of God. The purpose of this weapon is to scatter, to confuse, and to make battalions of demonic agents flee. When the lightning of God strikes, His enemies will abandon their mission, ignore their mission, and abort their activities. You need to invoke the lightning of God against every power standing between you and your complete deliverance. So pray and ask God to issue His lightning as an instant judgment upon stubborn pursuers. If debt is a stubborn pursuer of yours, ask the Lord to release His lightning upon it. But if you do, make sure that you start walking in sound, physical, biblical principles. That's financial biblical principles. Because if you compromise, guess where that lightning is going to strike? But He will strike those agents of indebtedness if you ask Him to release the lightning. But then I have the responsibility of making sure that I walk in wise biblical financial principles so that I don't get hit by that same lightning. Indebtedness and debt are stubborn pursuers that much of the body of Christ needs to overcome. So when do we use this weapon? We use the lightning of God to give the enemy public disgrace. The cross was the ultimate public disgrace that the enemy faced. But the lightning of God brings public disgrace to the enemy. Number two, we use the lightning of God to arrest and deflect satanic arrows. If you're constantly being bombarded by satanic attack, curses that are coming at you, have the lightning of God come to rout them. Number three, we use the lightning of God to fight foundational battles. The lightning of God can blow things away. Number four, we use the lightning of God to destroy powers resisting your breakthrough. And number five, we use the lightning of God to bring total confusion on evil spies. How many of you have been caught in the midst of a lightning storm? It is chaotic. And that's literally what is happening in the dark realm when the Lord releases storms of lightning upon your enemies. They don't know which way to go because it's just like bombs of lightning going off all around them. And you know what? When that lightning hits, it's not just intense energy. It's such bright light that it literally destroys all of the darkness. It can't exist. Total confusion and chaos. Ways to pray. You see these on your sheet. In the name of Jesus, lightning of God, arise, strike terror and fear into the camp of my enemies. Number three, in the name of Jesus, O God, arise and let your weapon, the weapon of your lightning, move into the camp of my pursuers. Number five, in the name of Jesus, lightning of God, move in an uncommon way to empower me to possess my possessors. How would you like to own everything that has tried to own you? And that literally means you get to plunder their spoil and take their booty. Number seven, in the name of Jesus, lightning of God, begin to strike fear and terror into the camp of my stubborn pursuers and into the camp of my unrepentant enemy. So were these in your playbook before? Were these weapons part of your arsenal? Did they stretch your thinking a little bit? They're all in the Bible, aren't they? There's a whole bunch of weapons in the Bible that the Lord has put there for us to discover how to war effectively against the things that are keeping us, our families, our region, our state, and our nation from entering into the fullness of what Father has for us. May the Lord continually add His weapons to your arsenal. May He continually give you wisdom on how and where and when to use them so that you can stand and wage the good fight of faith. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank You that it is You that trains our hands for war and our fingers for the battle. We thank You, Lord, that You give us every victory in Christ. Lord, we ask tonight that You would allow us to see what is written in Your book on us, to hear what it is that You are reading out of our individual books, so that we know what You would have us to decree in the earth and see it come to pass. And that we would know how to fight, knowing that You have written it, and so it is. Lord, we thank You that Your word returns to You victorious, fulfilling every purpose for which You sent it. And we ask that You would teach us how to use the weapons of warfare so that Your enemy is defeated and Your kingdom expands every place You call us to walk. In Jesus' name. Father, I release Your sons and daughters to be agents this week for You wherever You call them to walk, to carry an exponential increase of Your presence from what they carried when they came in tonight. And Lord, I ask that You would show them where You would have them to release it. Lord, if they are to leak all over wherever You call them, cause them to leak everywhere they go. And if they are to pour out as a mighty pitcher, directing the full force of everything You have in one place, show them that place so that Your glory will go forth and will return to You. And Lord, as they gather again into Your presence to worship You, I ask You to fill them afresh with more of Your glory so that they can do it all over again. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you all. Have a blessed week. Stay in fellowship. There's